Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: the gospel of the glory of God and the glory of Christ. Chapter 31. The glory of the King of Righteousness and King of Peace. Topic: C. The King who serves according to God's will and not according to the creature's will. Seeing the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ from the perspective of Him being our King of Righteousness and King of Peace is not only exciting, but also vital for us to see the glory of the heavenly righteousness and peace as inseparable from any action of the Lord. Nevertheless, the understanding that Christ has the status of King of Righteousness and King of Peace in His glory can also be highly significant for the adjustment of another perception of how our Lord Jesus Christ is in His relationship with us, namely, the condition that Christ is also the King who serves. Much literature has been produced in the world on the humble condition of Christ as a servant. However, it often seems that there is more literature on the state of Christ being a servant than the condition of Christ being the King over everything and everyone. And yet, it seems that many of the literary materials about Christ as a servant simply do not even address the matter of Christ being the King of Righteousness and Peace, the King elevated by the Heavenly Father above all creation. As a servant, Christ never ceased to be under the full direction of the Heavenly Father through the Holy Spirit, and He never stopped to be in a position of rulership over the facts that were around Him while serving others. Therefore, just as the position of King according to the order of Melchizedek cannot be defined from the understanding that the creation has about what comes to be heavenly kingship, so also the understanding of what comes to be a servant or of Christ as a servant cannot be defined based on the concepts of servants and slavery that the world adopts. When the Scriptures call us to seek things that are above, and not the earthly ones, and when they instruct us to be transformed by the renewal of our understanding, they include all matters of life, but also those that are pertinent to the Giver and King over all life. And because of that, the Lord Jesus Christ was not revealed as King above all things to fulfill the desire of all people, but to carry out, above all, the will of the Heavenly Father who established Him in the role of eternal King or Lord over all. The Lord Jesus Christ does good to people because the Heavenly Father loves them, and the Lord Jesus Christ is, ultimately, accountable only to the Heavenly Father. The Lord Jesus Christ, ultimately, serves the Heavenly Father and only serves people if the Eternal Father wants Him to serve people. John 8, 28. Then Jesus said to them, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing of Myself, but as My Father taught Me, I speak these things." If, on one side, in the eternal priesthood of Christ, we have someone who sympathizes with us, helps us in our weaknesses, purifies us, gives us garments of the new creature in God, on the other side, in Christ as King, we have someone who knows very well what needs to be done throughout the world and who has a very specific agenda with the Heavenly Father to fulfill. The Lord Jesus Christ is not the servant who became King. The Lord Jesus is the eternal King who serves or assumes the position of a servant, but without ever departing from His call to be King and Sovereign over everything and everyone. When the Lord Jesus Christ was in the flesh on earth, He gave Himself for people until death, but not any death. Christ gave His life for all people through the death that He needed to die. The death about which had been prophesied for centuries and about which the Heavenly Father had specifically instructed Him. John 10, 17-18. Therefore My Father loves Me, because I lay down My life that I may take it again. No one takes it from Me, but I lay it down of Myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from My Father. Luke 22, 42. Saying, "Father, if it is Your will, take this cup away from Me, nevertheless not My will, but Yours, be done." John 18, 11. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me?" Similarly, in the episode in which the Lord Jesus washed his disciples' feet to teach them about serving one another, Christ, at no time, gave control of the meeting to his disciples. Even though serving his disciples and teaching them to serve one another, the Lord Jesus knew what he was doing and where he was heading to, for he never stopped being king despite serving. As we saw in the previous chapter, let us remember that Christ as a newborn was already born king. Let us note, then, a few more verses that show the humility of the Lord Jesus and, at the same time, his humbleness in his greatness. John 13:3-17. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter. And Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew who would betray him, therefore he said, "You are not all clean." So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." In the world, many people think that the Christian life is a life of surrender and helping others until the strength of Christians is exhausted, regardless of whether what people ask of them is according to God's will or not. And they think that this is the love that every believer should have. Even because of the desire to follow Christ's example, several Christians may inappropriately come to think that serving is doing the whims of others. This way of thinking, however, is nonsense or absurd. If someone looks at the narrative above presented by John, one may realize that the Lord Jesus never lost control of any situation when serving people. So, when Peter said that he would not let the Lord wash his feet, the Lord did not give him any space because Peter was trying to take control of the actions of the meeting and, consequently, of the steps that he thought Christ should take. Even though Christ came into the world to serve people, he would never give others the direction of what he had to lead. Christ presented himself as a servant, but, at the same time, he made it explicitly clear that he was the Lord and the Master greater than any of his followers and disciples. The greatness of Christ washing the disciples' feet, as an example of serving, was not in the fact that a slave of the disciples did it, but in the fact that the King of the universe and the Lord of their lives did what he did. The Lord's steadfast and unshakable position in his humility is something that confuses many people. And Christ's humility and service should never lead a person to deduce or think that Christ can be subject to him or her, for as Abraham already discovered when he met Melchizedek, the lesser is blessed by the higher or more excellent. Hebrews 7:7. Now beyond all contradiction the lesser is blessed by the better. The fact that Christ was serving his disciples was not made in disagreement with the principle of the better blessing the lesser. However, even though serving and coming in the flesh into the world to serve, Christ made it noticeably clear that the order of his position and that of his disciples could never be reversed. John 13, 16. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. Revelation 19, 16. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. People dissociated from a good conscience concerning the glory of Christ as the King of Righteousness and King of Peace are often also those who try to confuse others to lead them to believe that they can have God for their servant and have Christ as the one who fulfills the most diverse statements they make in their arrogant behaviors and positions. When Peter replied to Christ's invitation when the Lord Jesus said that he would wash his feet, Christ did not obligate Peter to let his feet be washed. The Lord did not say to Peter, "Sit there because I am in charge, and I will wash your feet." Nevertheless, Christ also did not allow Peter to take over the events during the supper he was going to have with his disciples. And he firmly gave Peter an alternative so that he could choose what he wanted to do, saying to him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Peter could have chosen to leave, but the Lord did not give up the service he was going to do and the way he was going to do it towards Peter, for Christ did not come to earth to do what Peter's wanted to be done, but he came to do the Heavenly Father's will and say what the Heavenly Father wanted him to say. And it is also because of this that the Heavenly Father entrusted the authority over everything exclusively to Christ. Then again, why did the Lord take that attitude towards Peter? Through the example of Peter, among other aspects, the Lord Jesus taught us that he only serves us for what is good for us. And it would never be good for Peter and us if the Lord would let the creature take dominion over our Creator. In that episode, Christ made it clear that it was he who was indeed the Lord and the Master, and that he would serve his disciples in that situation, but as long as they respected him as the Lord and teacher who serves. And Christ served his disciples even though he knew that a few hours after that meeting, he would be nailed to a cross in a place called Calvary. The Savior Jesus, the Lamb of God, the eternal High Priest who sympathizes with us, is the Christ, the King over everything and everyone, but always subordinate and faithful to the Heavenly Father and the will of God Most High, a condition that he will not give up for any person and desire of the creation. If at a particular moment in history Christ allowed darkness to triumph over him, it was also because in this concession of the triumph of darkness was the demonstration of the victory of God through Christ over the darkness itself, as well as there was the condemnation of darkness in what they thought could be their biggest triumph. 1 Corinthians 1, 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. 1 Corinthians 2, 6-9. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." Revelation 17, 14. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. If, on the one hand, Christ has all the time it takes to serve us, on the other, he is subject to a command line before the Heavenly Father in which he is called to act in everything with righteousness and as the Father instructs him to do. Because of the general condition of Christ as the King of Righteousness and King of Peace, as well as subject to carry out all the will of God, no one should despise the day of grace and the day of salvation in any area of life, for, in the global aspect, Christ is also the Lord who will give the due sequence of what the Heavenly Father instructs him to do. 2 Corinthians 6, 1-2. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, "In an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time, behold, now is the day of salvation." Thus, when we come to our perfect and eternal High Priest and let him lead us to the Heavenly Father, the Eternal Father, in turn, exalts the Lord Jesus before our eyes and makes us see him also as his eternal Son, the Christ, the King over all kings, and Lord of all lords, to whom, in everything, we are called to listen and obey. And no person will ever be able to reverse any plan that the Heavenly Father has for the Son and King Jesus Christ, or any commitment that Christ has towards the Eternal Father, for it was the Father who exalted him to these positions. Matthew 17, 1-7. Now after 6 days Jesus took Peter, James, and John his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud, saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise, and do not be afraid." Hebrews 4, 6-7. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience, again he designates a certain day, saying in David, "Today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." Despite being sovereign and eternal King, Christ is always ready to serve everyone. However, if a person does not want the Lord Jesus to serve him or her according to God's will, Christ allows a person to neglect his assistance to him or her, but he will never accept being dominated by whoever the person is or by any position that person has in the world and before other human beings. As we saw in Peter's case, the Lord serves for the good of people, but if an individual does not want the way the Lord offers to assist him or her, the Lord clearly says, "You have no part with me." The Lord Jesus is never deceived by proposals of pretended humility, as was Peter's suggestion that he would wash the feet of the Lord Jesus, but who, in reality, was questioning what the Lord had said he would do, as if Peter knew better than Christ what was most appropriate to accomplish at that time. From the Lord comes every good gift and every good counsel. For this reason, Christ does not need to take advice from pretended humility of people. Proverbs 8:14. "Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom; I am understanding, I have strength." Isaiah 40:13 15. "Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has taught him? With whom did he take counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge, and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket, and are counted as the small dust on the scales. Look, he lifts up the isles as a very little thing." Isaiah 9, 6-7. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. When the Lord Jesus proposed to wash his disciples' feet, he was not taken by surprise by Peter's reaction because he knew him very well. Nor did he do this to expose Peter to shame in front of others, but so that Peter could face his very desire to do things always in his own way. Peter needed to understand many things there. Peter needed to see the distorted desire that he had to control the situations in his life, as well as of others and even of Christ. Several times, Peter showed himself as the sheep that wanted to lead the shepherd, instead of having the Lord as the shepherd of the sheep. Several times in his life, Peter showed himself impetuous to try to lead even the Lord Jesus in his ways, and for this reason, he was also humiliated several times despite wanting to follow the Lord. Therefore, the revelation that in Christ there is a king servant and not a servant king is something that every Christian should be aware of, for lack of understanding of the greatness of Christ's glory as King of righteousness and peace may serve to corrupt the conscience of Christians, leading them to think that they may rule over him who can never be governed by any creature, for no creature can ever be placed in the same position of God. Isaiah 45, 22. Look to me, and be saved, all you ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is no other. When people want to establish Christ as their servant and when they want to establish human beings themselves as those who determine the destinies of nations, the earth trembles and cannot stand it, for which human being could even come close to what Christ is in his eternal glory as King of righteousness and King of peace. When the Lord Jesus walked on the earth, he was the king servant coming from God and following the Heavenly Father's guidance in everything to serve only those he was appointed to serve and how from above he was assigned to serve them. As a Son of Man, Christ learned to believe that both what should be done and the time and the way something should be done should always be according to the Heavenly Father's will because his will is good, perfect, and pleasant in all its aspects. And this example of Christ is also what we are called to follow. Christ had to go through death and death on the cross to reveal the provision of our salvation. He could even talk to the Father in distress about this, he could ask the Father to deliver him from death on the cross, but he did so only on the condition that it did not alter the Father's will. Christ believed in the fact that the Eternal Father knew what was just or right. He had the Heavenly Father as the firm foundation of his faith, and he had the Father's promises as the basis of all his hope. And because Christ surrendered himself entirely to the Heavenly Father, the Eternal Father made him the author of salvation and also as the Son of Man established him over all creation to be obeyed according to the obedience that comes by faith and only through which Christ is willing to serve us eternally as the Eternal High Priest and as the Almighty King. Hebrews 5, 7-10. Jesus, who, in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications, with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him, called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Romans 16, 25-27. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began but now has been made manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures has been made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, for obedience to the faith, to God, alone wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. There is salvation, love, peace, and true righteousness only in the will of God. And it is because of this that Christ serves us in superabundant ways only according to this sovereign and heavenly will, and in which he himself always walked in the world without ever deviating a single step from it.